Amen. Good morning. My name is Kylie Caffey. I'm a pastoral resident here at the Evanston Vineyard, and I'm just so grateful to be here with all of you today. And I'm actually super excited because we are in the second week of our Come Holy Spirit series. And I thought, last week we looked at who the Holy Spirit is. That the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, but the Holy Spirit is the divine third person of the Trinity and our advocate. And so this morning, I thought it would be only fitting to start our time together by sharing about my first time meeting the Holy Spirit, my first time hearing this Come Holy Spirit prayer. I was 16 years old, and I had found myself at a Vineyard Youth Summer Camp. It wasn't this Vineyard, but it was another Vineyard. And at the time, I did not believe in God. In fact, a year before, I was at a different church's summer camp, and that's when I decided that I no longer believed in God. And so I came into this camp with pretty low expectations, but on the second night, a 12-year-old girl came up to me and asked if she could pray for me. And let me tell you, she was trained well. If you know the 5-step prayer model, she was nailing it. She came up, asked if she could pray, asked if she could put a hand on my shoulder, and she started her prayer with, "Come, Holy Spirit." Now, I was new to the Vineyard, and I had no idea who the Holy Spirit was, but the Holy Spirit did indeed come. I began to feel this heat run from her hand through my shoulder to my heart. And I was tangibly feeling the Spirit of God in my body. And I was palpably feeling this hardness that I felt around my heart begin to melt. She was praying like she knew about these hidden areas of pain and hurt that I was carrying. And as she was praying, I felt the Spirit of God minister to me in those places. And so I have spent every moment since that time when I was 16, maybe not every moment, but a lot of my moments, wanting to know who is this Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit was a stranger to me when I was 16, the Spirit has since revealed himself to me as my guide, my advocate. The Spirit has brought me freedom, given me strength, power, joy. But I found that when I've been asked, who is the Holy Spirit, I almost cannot describe the Spirit without describing what the Spirit gives. Because ultimately, the Spirit is a good gift giver. The Spirit is a giver, not a taker. And the Spirit showers God's creation with a plethora of different gifts. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And we'll start by turning to 1 Corinthians 12 together. We'll start in verse 4. The word says that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So first, let's look at what these gifts are. The passage is a little repetitive. You may have noticed that it is the same Spirit that gives these gifts. It is the Spirit of God that distributes these spiritual gifts to us. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. The Father gifted the Spirit, a person, to us, and that Spirit continues to lavish us with good gifts. And the key to all of this is that these are gifts. They really are gifts. If they were transactional, if you paid for them or if you earned them, it's a transaction. It's not a gift. But these are gifts, and they are generously given by a good father to his children. And this is really good news, because if you've ever desired more wisdom, more faith, more power to heal or pray or evangelize, the Spirit is the one who gifts that to us as a pure grace. The gifts of the Spirit are a pure grace. It's just grace. Paul goes on to specifically list some of these gifts for us. He lists wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits. You may have heard that gift described as the gift of discernment, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. And then there's other passages in the Bible that list additional gifts, like mercy, helping, teacher, apostle, pastor. And so if you have ever wondered how to get better at any of these things, the answer is that it is a gift. It's a pure grace. And sure, there are things that we can do to refine our skills and our talents, but it is the Spirit of God that breathes life on these things and makes it a gift. And so while the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 aren't comprehensive, this passage does show us why the Spirit gives us gifts. And the why is also something that can help us sort whether something is just a talent or a gift. The why is shown to us in verse 7. They are for the common good. The gifts of God are given to us for the common good. And so that means that whether you lead worship or have a way with kids, if it is for the common good, you are being empowered by the Spirit. Spiritual gifts are empowerments from God for the common good. And so you may have a beautiful voice, refined by years of lessons and training. But when your voice is serving your community, when your voice is being used to turn hearts and attention to God, that is when a gift can be identified. Your talent is a gift empowered by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 goes on to talk about how all believers receive different gifts. Did you catch that? All believers receive different gifts. And together, believers function as one body with different parts, meaning that we are all uniquely gifted and serve a particular function or role within the church that is completely different from the person next to us. We can all receive empowerments to share the gospel, to pray for our sick neighbor, to prophesy over the person in the grocery line. So what's the difference between doing that and having a gift? Another indicator that something is a gift is when repeatedly you can see God moving or people being benefited through your serving. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, would distinguish between these time-to-time empowerments by calling them gracelets versus gifts. And gracelets are like a raindrop of grace for the moment. When we respond in obedience to God, even if we don't have a gift in that area, the Spirit can give us these gracelets. But when those drops of grace turn from time to time, drip, drip, into a steady rain, voila, a gift can be identified. When the 12-year-old girl prayed for me, I was convinced that she must be one of God's lucky ones. You know what I'm talking about? Like the ones that just have more courage, more boldness, more power. They're probably more loved by God. Has anyone else had those thoughts? Okay, thank you. But I was quite shocked as the week went on. I began to watch her, and I found that she was actually quite quiet. And dare I say, even ordinary. In fact, I don't even know whether she was operating in her gifting that day when she prayed for me. A day that completely changed my life, and yet that may not have even been her spiritual gift. She demonstrated something really important to me. She showed me that no matter your age, your gender, your introversion or extroversion level, your gifting, we can all be empowered by the Spirit of God as a pure grace. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." You today are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, has a specific area and way that he desires to partner with you. And it's for the common good. And not only that, but you receive the empowerment before you're sent. Acts 1 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We are filled before we are sent. We receive power before we are sent. We're not sent or receive power once we've proven ourselves to God, once we've said yes to God. We receive power before we're even sent. And that's because, again, this is a gift. A gift means that nothing is paid back in return. And so it is with the Spirit. He gives without taking. We are filled and then sent. And so what does this mean? If we are filled and empowered by the Spirit for the common good before being sent, that means that the intensity of the gifting is not a direct result of how well someone witnesses to the ends of the earth. Us being filled before being sent means that powerful gifting is not always in direct correlation to someone's obedience. Powerful gifting is not a marker of a believer's integrity, holiness, or maturity. Because again, gifts are given, not earned. And this is why you can see a highly gifted teacher exposed for great moral failure. Or someone so gifted at discipling and caring for the believers in the church, all the while neglecting their own family at home. Or the worship leader who leads in such a beautiful way, it feels like heaven is meeting earth, and yet they could be struggling with an affair or an addiction off the stage. Where the world has seen and attributed the gifts of the Spirit as reflecting the person who has the gift, we as believers are invited to see the gifts of the Spirit reflecting our good and perfect gift giver. There is no gift from the Spirit that we receive that is not a reflection of God's character himself. Our gift of faith is from the faithful God. Our gift of intercession is from the God who is praying for us. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for us. The Spirit prays for us through groans. So if gifts are empowerments for the common good, not marked by our own ability or maturity, what do we do with them? We get to give them away. We get to go where we are sent. We get to experience what Jesus meant when he said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." Our gifts are best enjoyed by serving community. So how do we do this? We know that we are all called to share the good news of the gospel. We're all called to do the things that Jesus did by praying for the sick, giving to the poor, showing mercy to the people around us, and serving others. But how do our gifts affect this? There's a pastor in Hawaii whose church is very well known on their island for their healing ministry. In fact, I think many people would recognize this pastor for his own gift of healing. But he would tell you that he does not have the gift of healing. Instead, he has the gift of prophecy, and so he relies on that gift of prophecy to help him pray for the sick people that he comes in contact with. Sometimes our giftings don't always inform what we do, but maybe how we go about it. Additionally, our gifts can show us areas where we need to rely on our community. This is good news because maybe you lead a small group and you're a gifted teacher or intercessor or whatever your gift may be, but you're struggling to actually get people to come to the group. You're struggling to foster an environment that is comfortable and safe. That's when you can look around and see who around you has the gift of hospitality. Who can fluff the pillows just so, light the candle. It's deeper than that. But I think at the surface level, that's what the gift of hospitality can feel like. And you can look around and see who has that gifting. And in tandem, you can work together for the common good. Our gifts are best when we use them to serve with those around us and for those around us. But Paul gives us a warning about these spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, "If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." That's harsh. But if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. These powerful graces of the Spirit are nothing if we are not moved with the compassion of our God. How can we serve the common good if we are not moved or burdened or burning for the common good? But there's good news in this too, because the Spirit is a giver, not a taker. And so even the burden for our community is a gift that God can give us. The Spirit graces us with empowerment, but the real power comes when we receive God's love for his people as well. His heart is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. And this need for love in tandem with spiritual gifts reflects that the Holy Spirit, the giver of good gifts, is also a God of love. And God wanting us to use our gifts in love demonstrates something else about his character. I think it could be easy to hear about a spiritual gift for the common good and see it as a transaction. For some of you, it may feel like getting a vacuum cleaner for your birthday. Like, is it a gift if I'm just using it to, like, clean the house? For some of you, it is. I know some people who get really into vacuum cleaning. But for others, that just doesn't add up. But that is not what the gifts of the Spirit are like. God desires for us to receive these gifts and lovingly use them for the sake of our neighbors flourishing. And the fact that God desires this also shows us that he wants to partner with us to set our relationships in order. And this isn't always the case, but there have been so many times when I was serving in areas of my gifting that God radically met me. I can remember a time where I was so close off to the voice of God, to the love of God, and I was serving at our youth group, and I felt like the Lord gave me a word of knowledge for one of the students. So I went over, and I was praying over him, and I gave the word, and I felt like the Lord was just really highlighting that he was faithful, and that he would not abandon this student, and that he loved this student. So I was praying over him, and as I left, I heard God say, "Kylie, all those things you prayed over him, they're true for you too. I'm faithful to you. I love you." And so in a place where it was hard for me to receive God's love, to receive his truth, the Lord met me and spoke that to me. Spiritual gifts have sometimes helped me to receive God's truth in places that I was resistant. And serving has often reminded me about who God is. And even more than that, I have seen that using my spiritual gifts often helps my heart align with God's heart. I begin to feel compassion for the things that God is compassionate towards. When I lacked love for others, he would give it to me. And while these things don't happen every time I use my gifting, every time the Spirit gives without taking anything in return. And so if you are here today and have said yes to following Jesus, you have a gift from the Spirit. This is like the Oprah moment of our morning. You have a gift. You have a gift. You have a gift. You all have gifts. Yeah, you have a gift from the Spirit. So how do you know what your gift is? This is good news. It's common practice within churches to go online and take a spiritual gifts test. You go to the World Wide Web, you look up spiritual gifts in Google, and you can take a test and answer a few questions, and it'll spit out mercy, healing, intercession, or whatever your results may be. And while this is a really helpful tool, it's just a starting place. It's just a first step. Because gifts are for the common good, the best way to find your gifts is to get your hands dirty. See where your desires take you and begin to serve there. As you serve in your community can then begin to identify and call out the gifts that they see. Another way that tests are limited is that sometimes our spiritual gifts are in areas that we actually feel are weakest. Often because spiritual gifts are the way that we participate in the mission of God to bring his kingdom to the earth, we will face opposition to their usage. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that we are engaged in a battle against spiritual forces of evil. We have an enemy who would keep us from serving our true King. As we begin to discover our gifts, we also should pay attention to resistance. Resistance in circumstances or conditions, whether around us or in us. I know of a supremely gifted preacher and pastor who stuttered all his early life before being called into ministry. Now the stuttering has given way to power and fruit. His teachings are heard all over the world. And if I can share a little TMI with you this morning, a lot of my journey to figuring out this ministry thing was figuring out that God gave me a voice. That in areas where I felt voiceless, God was telling me I had a voice. I struggled with social anxiety, and so here's the TMI part. I would be in groups of people, and all of a sudden, my throat would be filled with phlegm. And so I'd have to, like, cough my way out of the room and, like, run and hide. It was awful. But the Lord has met me in that area, and I'm just so grateful. Another thing when identifying gifts is that in an age of Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, StrengthsFinder, and a plethora of other great and helpful tests, we can have a tendency to learn about our spiritual gifts and then turn inwards. These helpful tools can turn into a way to excuse bad behavior. My friend group and I in college got really into the Enneagram, and so we would begin to say things like, I can't do that, I'm an Enneagram 6. Or, do you know what? I know what I said just hurt you, but I'm an Enneagram 8, can't help myself, you know? And we can do this with spiritual gifts too. We can hear, like, learn what our spiritual gifts are and then begin to think like, I'm not sure if I should pray for that person. I don't have the gift of healing. Or I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if that's my gifting. But these tools, like spiritual gifts, are just identifiers to help us name what is already happening. They are not our identity. And so you may have the gift of mercy, but that is not your identity. The gifted worship leader, the strong intercessor, the visionary, the one filled with mercy, is always and forever God's beloved son or daughter first. You today are not identified by what you do for God. You are identified by who God says you are. The gifts flow from the Holy Spirit, who is a down payment of our inheritance for God's glory. Spiritual gifts train us to begin to turn from a self-improvement, individualistic mindset to then seeing and caring for the people around us. And so while I do not want to discourage you from looking into and trying to discern what your spiritual gifts may be, even more so this morning, I want to challenge you to take note of the giftings of the people around you. to notice where the person sitting three seats down from you is being empowered by the Spirit. I'm sure that most of us can recall times where we felt missed, underused, or underactivated in our church community. But my prayer this morning is that you have also, or will also, have times where someone looks at you and says, I see this in you. I see God moving powerfully through your faith. I see God moving powerfully through your intercession. I see God moving powerfully through your mercy and compassion. And so this week, I want to challenge you to name and or tell someone in our church one gift that you see in them. To identify where the people around you are being empowered by the Spirit. Because when someone's gifts are called out, it doesn't just affect Sunday morning. It doesn't just affect our Wednesday care center or youth group or welcome team. It affects the whole community, the whole city. Because your gift of faith, your gift of mercy, your gift of teaching goes beyond the walls of the church and brings transformation to the areas that God has sent you. Now, not only do you already have these gifts from the Spirit as you are today, whether you said yes to Jesus 2 seconds ago or 20 years ago, but these gifts are something we can ask for. The Spirit is a giver, not a taker, and the Spirit is generous and faithful. And so we can ask the Spirit to give us certain gifts. You today can ask for the gift of prophecy. In fact, the Bible really encourages it. You can ask for the gift of helping, the gift of faith. And can we pause on the gift of faith for a moment? Because isn't it wild that our ability to believe that God will be who he said he is a gift from God? That our ability to trust and expect God to be all of who he is a gift that he gives us. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. We can eagerly desire and ask our generous God for his good gifts. And so as we close, I'd like to end by doing exactly that. Let's ask the Lord to give us his good gifts. I see some of you doing it already, but I invite you to just put your hands out in front of you like you're going to receive a gift. You can close your eyes, keep your eyes open. But Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come. Thank you for your presence with us this morning. God, we thank you that you are generous and faithful, that your heart is for us, for our neighbor, for our city. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be bold right now. I felt like the Lord was specifically highlighting those who wanted the gift of faith this morning. And so, if that's you, would you raise your hand? I see the hands.
Gift of faith. So this past March, or I guess it was last month, Steve and I and Adama went to Turkey, and we met a man there. I met a man there for the first time. I think Steve has known him for some time, but he was attending one of the churches in Istanbul. And if you know anything about Turkey, you know that Turkey is an Islamic state, and so planting churches, having churches in Turkey is actually pretty difficult. So this man was attending a church. The church lost its location and then dwindled down to a handful of people. The pastor got discouraged, said to the man that I'm just telling you about right now, I think I'm done. I think I'm going to quit. And the man said to him, give me a week and I'll get you a building. Pastor was like, why not? Within a week, he had a building. And so sometime later, of course, we show up in Istanbul. We go to that building and it's packed. I think that what we're saying with the gift of faith is we're saying that that's what that gift actually is. The gift to believe that that which is impossible can actually be possible. All right, so we're talking, of course, we're talking about the gift of faith as it relates to like when a person says yes to Jesus and reaches out to them for the first time. But we're asking you today if you want the gift that that man in Turkey has. The gift to believe that God can do that which is impossible, that God can bring the possible, the impossible, into the realm of possibility. That's the gift that this man has, and he walks around all over, and he does all sorts of great things with it. That's the gift we're asking you. If you want that gift, let's just close our eyes for a moment. Everybody close your eyes. If you want that gift, would you raise your hand? I want the gift of faith to begin to believe the things that are impossible, that they would actually become possible in my life. Would you raise your hand? That's what we're asking for. That's right. Raise your hand. Yeah, keep them up. Kylie's going to pray for us. Pray for you. With your hands up. Keep your hands up. We want to pray for you.
Thank you, Lord, for the way you're already building faith in the room. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We ask for more. Holy Spirit, for all of these hands, would you give them your good gift of faith? Would you give them dreams and visions that seem impossible? Lord, for those who are already having dreams and visions, would you continue to increase them? Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we bless what you're doing over there. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. You can put your hands down. Now, I'm going to give you an assignment. Everyone that's raised their hands up high, you didn't realize this, but you're saying when, you know, the teacher says, hey, who wants homework? And you raise your hands. That's what you just did. I'm kidding. I'm just a joke. All right, here's what I want to invite you and challenge you to do. Every hand that was raised, I'm going to ask that this week you begin to ask. Okay? So what do you do with that gift of faith? Well, a lot of times that gift of faith is paired with bold ask. If you look at the way that Jesus talks about relationship with God, he constantly is asking people to ask. And so I want to ask you to ask, begin to ask, and put it down. Record it somewhere in your phone. Record it in a journal. Write it in the front of your Bible. The bigger the ask, the better. Okay? Does that make sense? All right, ask.